Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Am I on? I'm on. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God's so good, isn't he? Aren't you thankful to be planted in the house of the Lord? They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Amen. If we want to flourish for God, we know we've got to be planted in his house. Well, you're in the right place this morning. Amen. We're in the greenhouse today. So we're going to get some sun this morning, going to get some rays and get some growth in us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Brad and Reverend Tony. What a wonderful time of worship, of course, as always here. Such a blessing to bring us into the presence of God. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. Well, as Pastor Brad said, you know, of course, I'm not the pastor here. Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie Stallman are. And I want to encourage you, just as he said, if you are a first-time visitor this morning, I've said this before, I'll say it again. You just go ahead, leave now, and come back when they're going to be here, all right? I say that in jest, of course. I want you to, the word is still the word, right? But we know that God appoints certain people for places. He appoints people in offices for a local church, for that body. And they're the ones that God has chosen and placed in this place. And you can see the fruit of that, that when you follow God's plan for a ministry, when a pastor follows God's plan and does what he wants, goes where he wants him to go, does what he wants him to do, amen, then there's blessing that comes from it when we follow God. And you can see that here this morning. Judge it by the fruit. Amen. It's got some good fruit around here. So praise the Lord. But I am excited to be with you. I love your pastors very much. They are the real deal. You know, they are a true embodiment of that office of the pastor. And you're blessed to be sitting under their ministry, blessed to be learning from them. You know that, but it's good to be reminded of these things as well. Amen. Don't let familiarity breed contempt there. You know, when you get familiar with something, you can lose honor for it. When we lose honor for the things of God, we stop receiving from them. Amen. So God said, they that honor me, I will honor. Amen. And so it's easy for us with the office of the pastor because they're with us. They're close to us. We honor these guest ministers that come in and, you know, we receive from them. We look forward to those meetings. We ought to be more excited for every Sunday. Amen. Not just those big heavy hitters sometimes during the year. We don't get a heavier hitter than our pastor. Amen. That's the one that God has placed in our life for us to receive from. Praise the Lord, and your pastors are the real deal. So I count it an honor to be here this morning to fill their pulpit today. But we'll just trust God that what he wants said will get said. What he wants done will be done this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we pray before we get into the word today? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, we rejoice to come before you this morning. We rejoice to hear your word today. Lord, we know that every time we hear it, our hearts are pricked, our hearts may be challenged, but Father, the purpose of it is to help us grow to look more like Jesus. And then when we look like Jesus, when we look like our Savior, that's when we can tell people about him and lead people to him. So Father, help us this morning. Father, speak through me this morning. Lord, make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. I thank you, Lord, that this is your service. It's not mine. Father, whatever you want said today, may that and that alone be what's said this morning. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This morning, I know the slick text went out yesterday. We're going to talk about stirring up the gift of God. Stirring up the gift of God. We've all maybe been there where when you get born again, you hear somebody talk about, oh, they're just born again. They're so on fire for God. Well, people don't always say that about people after they've been born again for a long time. Why? What happens? That fire maybe starts to trickle down a little bit. But there's something that we can do to keep that from happening. Because a newborn believer ought not to be the only believer on fire for God. Amen. As we walk with God, as we experience him, as we walk out his plan for our life, it's easy for us to maybe then start to get caught up in the mundane practices of Christianity. Right? The I know how to practice faith, so I'm going to do faith. The I know how to go to church, so I'm going to go to church. I know how to tithe, so I'm going to tithe. Well, that's great that we can do all these things. These are things that God's ordained for us to do. But if we're not doing them from our heart, from a place of loving God, if we're not doing them from our heart, from a place of being so enamored with him, so excited about pleasing our Father, then it's all for nothing. Right? We see that in the book of Revelation. John is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's telling him, listen, you've done everything right. You've done everything right. You've done everything you're supposed to do. You've had the right services. You've had, you know, all the things in the church. You've had the ministries. You've had the kids. You've had the kids run out, and you clap for them, and you love on them, and then you have the fellowship afterwards, and you have the obstacle courses, and all the things. And I'm not, of course, these are all good things, right? But if we don't have the love for God at the root of it, it doesn't matter. And that's what he said. That's what he said to Ephesus. You've forgotten your first love. So, and that let that be a lesson to us that wherever we are, Jamestown, Fredonia, any of the family churches, anywhere in the body of Christ, that if we're not conscious of the fact that we have to kindle that love for our Father, that flame is going to go out. And then it becomes just vain repetition and we're no more than a religion. Amen. We're not a religion. We're a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior. Thank God for it. He saved us. He set us free. He delivered us. Amen. And there's reasons we ought to be on fire for Him. So we're going to see this morning that if that fire is maybe, if it's gone down a little bit, we're going to see how to stoke it. We're going to see how to bring some flame back into that today. Amen. And if you're still on fire for God, well, praise the Lord, you can be more on fire for God. Amen. We can never, there's no limit with Him. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. It doesn't say until you reach a certain point. Right? We can draw as close to Him as we want, and He'll keep coming towards us. There's no point where God says, all right, you've had enough of me. Right? So we can always kindle that. We can always go to a higher level with our Father. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what does it mean to stir up the gift of God? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says this. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now this year, Paul is talking to Timothy about his office. Timothy's the pastor of a church. Paul is the apostle that started the church, and then he planted Timothy in there. Kind of similar to what happens here, right? Pastor Michael started the Jamestown church, the apostle of the family churches, and then he planted a Timothy, go figure, but planted Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie here so that they could then pastor this work. And of course, Timothy still submits to Paul, but Timothy is the pastor of that local work. And so Paul is now helping Timothy to see some things, reminding him of some things. But this isn't just for Timothy as the pastor, right? God didn't just put this in the Bible only for pastors to receive from it. The Word of God is for all of our admonition. It's for all of our help. And so there's a principle here that we can learn from. Paul said, wherefore, I put you in remembrance. That word remembrance, when you meditate on this, it jumps out to me. We've got to remember to do this. We've got to remember to stir ourselves up. Because like I said earlier, it's easy for us to just get caught up in the routine. We're human beings. We're creatures of habit. Amen. Some of us more than others, maybe. I like a very scheduled outline of how my day is going to go. When it doesn't go that way, it gives me opportunity to flow with God and trust Him. Amen. But some of us, like the woman that I love and live with, there is no schedule. Let's just flow and see what's going to happen today. And aren't you thankful God puts us with opposites to help us come to the middle and serve Him? Amen? Because it helps me from being too sticky, and it helps her from not being sticky enough, I guess. So, but we've got to remember to do this. We've got to remember to stir ourselves up. Paul put Timothy in remembrance of this. So this is our reminder this morning, amen, that we've got to stir ourselves up. We go on in this, wherefore I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. See, when you meditate in the Word of God, which when we come together and we're taught the Word, really we're just going through scriptures that we're meditating on and pulling out these truths. These are things, and of course, when you receive from a pastor, they're anointed to preach that to you. Amen. And there's things that the Holy Ghost will say in addition to just these scriptures that help to spark faith in our hearts and help grow faith in us. But there's also things in here that when you meditate on this scripture, when you sit on it and you just say, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? And you go over it again and again. There's words that'll come out to you, things that'll stand out to you. It's how the Holy Ghost ministers to us. It's how He puts His word into us. But this word here, that you, all that is the word that you, but there's so much to that. Think about this. No one else can stir up your gift. No one else can stir you up. You can come to church, you can have your faith strengthened, but Paul said to Timothy, you stir up the gift of God. No one can stir up the gift of God inside of me like I can. You can spark faith in me, you can remind me that I need to do it, which is what we're doing here this morning, but I can't come into your heart and stir up that gift inside of you. You've got to be the one to do it. Amen? Just like I've got to be the one to do it for my life. So we can't leave a place once we've been stirred in the faith and think, oh, okay, I'm stirred.
No. This is just the instructions on how to get stirred. And we're going to get stirred by it because it's faith, and faith excites our spirits. But let's remember that when we leave this place, we have marching orders. We have things that we need to keep in our minds, that now I have the instructions for how to make this happen. Okay, I'm going to make it happen now. You stir up the gift of God in you. The Weiss translation says you've got to keep it constantly blazing. You have to keep it constantly blazing. That means you maintain it. You know, a fire that you don't maintain inevitably goes out. If you have a wood stove, a campfire, a fireplace, whatever it might be, you can start it. But if you don't maintain it, it's going to go out. Amen. And our faith is the same way. If we don't do things to maintain our faith, if we don't do things to grow that relationship with God, it's going to dwindle. It's just going to happen. And there's something we can do about it, though. See, we have all the ingredients we need to make this happen. My wife, I shared this before, is a great baker. She writes a baking column for local newspapers as well. And of course, I enjoy the fruits of it, as you can see. Praise the Lord. But she makes the world's best brownies, and nobody's going to convince me otherwise about it. They are my favorite brownies, hands down, anywhere in the world. Any brownies I've ever had, don't even try. I mean, if you want to try and prove me wrong, I might take you up on the challenge, but I'll just tell you, you're going to lose. But I'll still give you a running shot at it, all right? But in our kitchen, pretty much at any given time, we have all the ingredients for her brownies. And she knows the recipe by heart. She doesn't need to read a card or anything. And we have all the ingredients in there at any time. But just because we have the ingredients in the kitchen doesn't mean I'm enjoying the fruit of the brownies, right? We have all the ingredients right here to stir up our faith in God. We're going to see this morning the recipe for how to do it. We're going to find the ingredients, see the recipe for how to put it together, to rekindle that fire, to rekindle that flame for him. But if you don't mix it and put it in the oven, it's not going to benefit you. Amen? Same for me. I can leave here today. I mean, this word is for me just as much as any of us, because we all need to be reminded to stir up the flame. It's not just the sheep. It's not just the ministers. It's everyone in the body of Christ. See, there's no special anointing to be a child of God when you're a pastor. There's no special anointing to be a child of God when you walk in the fivefold ministry office. I have to get up in the morning and stir myself up just like anybody else does. Pastor Tim, the same way. Even Pastor Michael, the founder of the family churches. He'll tell you, when I wake up in the morning, don't come and talk to me because I don't know how to walk in love yet. He'll say, I'm paraphrasing, all right, because it sounds better that way. Maybe don't tell him I said that, but that when we all have a part that we have to play for our own faith. There's an anointing to minister. There's a grace to preach. Sure, on the fivefold. But when it comes to being a believer, we all have to stir this up. We all have a part to play here. And so we're getting the ingredients today. We're getting the recipe for it this morning. Amen. And we're going to get help. Now, as we go to the end of the scripture, before we delve in here, it says, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. See, this is important for us to note. Paul associated the stirring up the gift with Timothy's connection to his spiritual leadership. So Timothy here submits to Paul as his spiritual leadership, right? And that's where Paul is reminding him, listen, remember, our connection is the reason that you can stir this up. It's the same thing for us with our pastors. When we're planted right, if you can put up on the overhead Ephesians 4:11, of course we know this scripture. See, for us, for Timothy and Paul, this is their relationship as pastor and apostle. But for us, it's the relationship with our pastor. That when we put ourselves in remembrance, we have to stir up the gift of God. It goes back to the fact that all of this, all of anything that has to do with our fire can be tended to because we have a pastor in our life. Ephesians 4:11, up on the overhead, it says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, verse 12, when you can. We're not going anywhere. We're here for service. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, a pastor in your life, God has ordained the gift of the pastor in our lives to help ground us, to help frame our faith, to help give us boundaries in life, so that we know where to walk, so that we know what to do. Amen. They bring the word of God to us because we can take the word of God and we can read the word of God. We can receive benefits from the word of God. But our pastor is anointed to show us things in the word of God that we aren't equipped to see otherwise. Not that there's anything lesser about us or greater about them. It's just an office that God's ordained to help us see these things. All through creation, God's established spiritual authority that people have to submit to, people receive from. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you're an American, maybe you think that way. But historically, there's nothing wrong with spiritual submission. It's right for us to have to learn from someone. We ought to count it great joy to get to learn from someone. Amen. I don't have to go to church to hear what my pastor has to say. I get to go to church and hear from someone that God has given me anointed to speak spiritual truths into my life. Amen. See, if we could think of it like this, we're talking about the fire of God, your fire in your spirit, and that you're on fire for him. There's two kinds of fire out there, right? The first kind, there's a whole lot, of course, but in this illustration, there's two that we're talking about. I used to go camping a lot growing up. When I did, we'd get there either at Allegheny State Park or Lake Erie State Park, all those campgrounds around here. The only way you could have a fire is if it was contained in a ring, the fire ring, right? Why? It kept that fire from spurring out of control. It kept it from becoming a wildfire that no one could control. See, there's a difference here. We could receive benefit from that fire because it was in a ring. We could enjoy its warmth. We could enjoy its comfort. We could cook food on it and receive sustenance from it. There was benefit to it. But you watch the news and you hear about these wildfires that happens. There's no benefit to those. There's destruction. People get hurt. Property gets destroyed. Bad things happen. See, our pastors help establish that ring around our fire. A Christian without a pastor is a wildfire. A Christian who doesn't have a church that they can go to, that they can receive stability from, they become, sure, they're on fire for God, but they're going to hurt people. They're going to do damage to people. They're going to act crazy and be uncontrollable. Amen? And that's not the God of order. That's not who God established the Christian to be. See, he gave us these pastors so that they could help us. And you may look at that and say, well, you're limiting me. No, no, no. It's helping us. It's enabling us to be more effective. See, when we come to a church, sure, maybe you want to spread out and blow your flames a little bit higher or something like that. Sure, you can get taller. You can get more on fire. You can have a nice big fire roaring in that fire ring. But if you don't have that ring there, keeping that fire contained, it's going to go out and cause damage and hurt people. I was talking to someone the other day, and they had asked me about a certain woman who had contacted me because she was having some issues with some things in her life, going through some things. And of course, I knew this, but this woman didn't have a church that she goes to. You know, she says, well, you know, I have my relationship with God. I don't need, you know, a church to have a relationship with God. Well, that's true. That's true. You don't need a church to have a relationship with God, but you do need a church to have stability. You do need a church to know exactly how the Word of God applies to your life. Amen. And so this woman, you know, this other woman contacted me because she had reached out to her and, you know, started spouting all these things that's going on in her life. And she says, you know, she's a Christian. Why are these things happening to her? Why is she going through this stuff? Why is she so weird? You know, and I mean, really, she wasn't trying to gossip about it. She genuinely wanted to know, like, what is the reason? Because she's a Christian just like I am. And I said, well, does she have a church? Well, no, she doesn't have a church. I said, there's your answer. She doesn't have a place that she's grounded in. Because she doesn't have a place she's grounded in, she's a wildfire. Amen. And so we need our pastors. We need that office. And Paul's reminding Timothy of that here. Listen, I want you to stir up the gift of God, but remember where you submit to. Remember why you were brought into this in the first place. Amen. So we look at this not as a place of bondage or holding us back, but from a place of recognizing that we can be more effective when we're planted right. Amen. Praise the Lord. So how do we stir up the gift of God in us? Let's bring this 2 Timothy 1:6 up in the Amplified, if you can. 2 Timothy 1:6 in the Amplified version. We're going to go through a couple of steps here. Give us the ingredients like we talked about for how to stir up the gift of God. Praise the Lord. And it says, that is why I would remind you to stir up, and here's the three things we're going to talk about. Rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God. So we see rekindle the embers of, fan the flame, and keep burning. These are three ways that we stir ourselves up. We're going to look in the Word of God how these ways apply to us and keep us on fire for God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So go ahead and turn to Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalm 22, verse 3. We're going to start with that one. When we talk about rekindling the embers, we're going to look at talking about praising God, praise and worship to God. You want to stir up the gift of God? It's the way to do it. We've got to stir that up. We do that through praising, through worshiping. See, when we praise God, it takes the focus off of the situation that we're in, and it puts it on Him. Amen. When we come into service and we have this time of praise and worship, we don't do it just because Reverend Tony's a great singer. You are a great singer. But that's not the only reason. We're not here for a concert, right? Reverend Tony's here because he's anointed to help bring us into that attitude of worship. What's happening? We come into this place with all our stuff, with all the stuff we've gone through this week, with every thought that we've had, every temptation we faced against, every argument with our spouse, every out-of-line thing our children did, all these things that we should be able to take care of on our own. Amen? But then we get into this place, and we're shown, okay, no, lay all that aside. How great thou art. Put the focus on Him. See, when we come here, though, that ought not to be the only time that we do that. Amen? The reason Christians can act so Christian in church is because they kick it off praising God. They're stirring up that faith. They're stirring up that gift within them. But church ought not to be the only time that we do that. I guarantee, Reverend Tony, is the only time you sing on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? No, not at all. And you know what? Just because he can sing a whole lot better than I can, I still sing the rest of the time as well. I praise God the whole way up here. You don't get to hear it. That's between me and him. But wherever we are, we just rejoice and praise our Father. You can do it through song. You can do it through just magnifying Him. Sometimes when you can't get anything out, you just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What are you doing? You're taking the focus off of the settling, off of the situation, and we're putting it on Him. We're stirring up the embers, you could say. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. See, when we praise God, we bring Him into the mix, right? We've talked about the ingredients in the recipe. If I want sugar in my brownies, and you know that I do, I've got to put sugar in my brownies, right? If we want God in our life, we've got to bring Him into our life. How do we do that? Praising Him, glorifying Him, and giving Him praise and honor. See, if you want faith, if you want God in your finances, praise Him in your finances. How do we do that? We give to Him. Right? If you want God in your health, how do you do that? You praise Him about your health. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healthy and strong, that I'll never be sick a day in my life. Whatever it is that you need God of in your life, you praise Him in that instance, and it brings Him into that situation. It puts the focus on Him. So when those flames start to go down a little bit, no. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. You're stirring up those embers. You're stirring those up. And if you've ever seen a fire that's now gone dark, like I said, I grew up camping a lot. And I had this one friend, and we were camping, and we were packing up the last morning to go home. And as we did, you know, we're going around the campsite making sure everything's cleaned up and ready to go. Well, he sees the fire pit there. And, of course, it's all ash. And so he thinks, oh, okay, you know, this will be funny. I'll walk through the fire pit. I don't know why that even was a thought that he could have it. That it's not funny. I mean, I don't know why he did it. But we were like 6 and 7, and so 6 and 7-year-old boys do stupid things. But 17 and 18-year-old boys do stupid things. Boys generally do stupid things. But in this instance, he did a stupid thing. So he sees this fire here and this ash, and he decides, I'm going to walk through it. I say this, and I don't know why he did it. I was going to give this illustration. Now I'm trying to think of a reason for why he did it. I have no good answer for that. So he walks through it, takes a step in, suddenly screams out in pain, and hops off. Why? It looked like there was nothing there. It looked like there was no fire in that pit, but there were still some embers underneath there. When we took a stick to that and stirred it up a little bit, those began to rekindle. See, our faith with God is just like that. That if we don't tend to it, we let it dwindle. We may look at it and see, you know, I don't have anything. Lord, I'm exhausted. I don't have anything else to give you. I don't have anything else to stir this up in me. But there's still something there. There's still something. As long as you're born again, there's still something there. And you see, when he did that, when we stirred up those embers, it allowed that to begin, that oxygen hit that, and those embers began to flow again. See, it's the same thing for us as believers. When we get to a point where we're thinking, you know, I just don't have anything else to give. You do. There's still more in there. Stir that up. Praise God. Praise God through it. Praise God when you feel like there's nothing to praise God about, and watch Him stir that up in you. Your flame will rekindle. It has to. Amen? Praise the Lord. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 16. Thank you, Father. Acts chapter 16. We're going to see this in practice here. In verse 22, it says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas lamented about how horrible their life had gone." No, what happened? Their life was now at a point where they had to make a choice. Am I going to allow the situation to allow my flame to go out and be depressed, be discouraged, or am I going to do something else about it? They chose to do something else about it. Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And they didn't do it in such a way that it was quiet and, praise God, praise God, praise God. No, no, no. Glory to God, I'm free from these chains that bind me. Why? They put some emphasis behind it, so much so the other prisoners heard them. See, when you need to get stirred up, listen, when we had a fire that was almost out and my dad wasn't around, we wouldn't just stir up those embers. We'd stir it up and then we'd throw some charcoal lighter fluid on there. Why? We wanted to see flame and we wanted to see it quick. When you're at the point where you're feeling like there's nothing else left in you, you just throw everything you got at it. You give him praise, you give him glory, and you do it with everything inside of you. That fire has to be ignited. It has to be stirred up. Amen? And Paul and Silas, they put this into practice here. See, too many Christians, they're this little tiny campfire that you can barely roast a marshmallow on. No, no, no. We ought to be bonfires. We ought to be roaring fires for God. Amen? We ought to be so... You know, when a fireman goes to... maybe there's a row of houses in a city. You know, out in the country, it doesn't happen as much. But in the city... The firemen, the one house will be on fire. And they'll go from that house and try to get that one out. But at the same time, they'll have another truck hitting the houses next to it with water. Why? They don't want that fire to spread. See, the devil will try and douse not only you, but the people around you. He'll try and bring Debbie Downers around you so that your fire can't spread. Your fire can't be contained. No, no, no. Don't let that happen. Amen. We serve a God who, when we stir this up, it renders us a fire so powerful the devil can't touch it. Amen. When we stir up the gift of God in us, that's why Paul is saying this to Timothy here. Listen, you have to stir up this gift of God. Otherwise, you're open meat for the enemy. Amen. He will douse your fire. He will take his little demon fire extinguishers and shoot them at you until your flame is out. Amen. But we have a way to stand up against that. We do that by stirring up the gift of God, rekindling the fire, the Amplified says. Praise the Lord. See, a Christian who refuses to praise God is one that's given to pride or fear, and both of those will keep us from victory. Amen. If we refuse to praise God, see, when we're in church and you think, you know, those people are so crazy. Pastor Brad talked about this morning how we just do things according to the Bible. We lift hands because the Bible says lift up holy hands. We praise God because the Bible says to praise God. We don't do it to fit some charismatic mold, just like he said. That blessed me. We don't do that just to fit some mold. We do it because the Bible says to do it. But a Christian that refuses to do that, well, they're refusing to do the Bible. If we're refusing to do the Bible, we're not going to get the Bible's results in our life. God, why aren't you working in my life? Are you terrified to raise your hands on Sunday morning? We're all at different places. I'm not trying to bash any of us today. I was at the point where, you know, we've all been there where you start... Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. We've all been at that point. You had to start somewhere, right? I don't know anybody that came into church for the very first time and, Lord, I give you my heart. Everybody's got to start somewhere. But the point is that we grow into certain things, right? We can't be so limited. I don't do the things I do here anywhere else. I don't. Praise the Lord. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, don't be afraid to praise God. Don't be ashamed to praise God. We come here to learn how to do it amongst like-minded people. People who, we've all had to do that. We've all raised our hands. And I guarantee you, when you're trying to raise your hands in worship, nobody's looking at you. Nobody cares about you. Do you know why you think that? Because we're full of pride. And we think, oh, everybody's looking at me. Everybody. No, they're looking at him like we ought to be. Amen. When we focus on him, who cares what anybody else thinks? Who cares what anybody else does? Now, I'm not saying that you go into Walmart and have a revival service. All right? We have to use balance and wisdom in these things. But we can't be so afraid of embarrassing ourselves that we forget to focus on him and allow ourselves to stir up that gift within us by praising our Father. Amen? So the first step there, we've got to rekindle the embers. We do that by praising God. Brings him into the situation, stirs up those embers there, gets us a good base to restart that fire. So now we've got that. We've got a next step that we've got to take. And that verse in 2 Timothy in the Amplified said, fan the flames. We've got to fan the flames. See, any good fire starter, I was in Boy Scouts, any good fire starter knows that newspaper and a little bit of wind goes a long way with starting a fire. You can't do it without it. See, I wasn't allowed to use lighter fluid. I sure wanted to, but I wasn't allowed to. My dad, if you started, I would have been disowned. I mean, there was a whole lot of things. They weren't saved. They encouraged me to do a whole lot of things that I shouldn't have been doing. But if I stacked wood the wrong way or started a fire the wrong way, so help me. I was done. So this resonates with me a little bit. See, fire needs oxygen to grow. We know that. That's why you can't have fire where there's no oxygen. If a fire is starved of oxygen, it cannot grow. We're going to talk about this one, fanning the flames, as being baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Amen. Which is a scriptural experience. Glory to God. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, don't write me off because I said the T word. Said tongues, right? Praise the Lord. Just stay hooked up with us. We're going to see it still in the Word of God. And if you're still tripped up about it, go ahead and come back when Pastor Tim's back and you can talk to him about it. He wrote a book on it. So if he wrote a book on it, he knows a thing or two about it. Praise the Lord. See, we've got to fan the flames. We do that by praying in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. That word edify, we know this in the Greek, it means to build up or to charge up. And we often think of this like a car battery. When you have a battery that's dead, you go to start your car, there's no power to it, and you try to do it, you turn the key and you get nothing. Maybe you get a rah, rah. You get nothing out of it. A lot of us Christians sometimes, we try and get to God and we're rah, rah. Why aren't they kinder? Rah. No, we just got to charge up our battery a little bit. Amen. We do that by being baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. See, a fire that's starved of oxygen, it cannot flourish. It's not that there's anything wrong with the fire. It's that it's missing a crucial part of that fire being able to burn. It needs that oxygen. A believer that doesn't pray in tongues on a regular basis can't flourish. There may be some smoke. You may see the capability for fire there. But that's not going to be a large fire. It's not going to be a productive fire. Why? It's missing oxygen. Just watch this great episode of Little House on the Prairie. Love that show. Love that show. It's a great show. Our kids love it too. So watch this episode. And Pa Ingalls is out there. And he's, I know this is a very carnal illustration, but bear with me. It'll benefit us. So Pa Ingalls is out there and they're digging railroad tunnels, right? And so he's got the dynamite in there. Well, he's going too fast, but he needs to make some money. And so it's all about why you shouldn't do things. Maybe you've seen this episode before. So you shouldn't do things being motivated by money, but Pa Ingalls, oh, bless his heart, he got tripped up and said, I need more money, so I'm just going to go ahead and do this, even if it's stupid. And so he's in there and he's blowing up the tunnel with the dynamite, blowing up the tunnel with the dynamite. Well, suddenly there's a cave-in behind him because he was going too fast and he wasn't doing it the way he was supposed to be doing it. So now what happens? They start to run out of air. Well, they've got a lantern there and, of course, the music's getting dramatic. And Ma Ingalls, oh, Pa, is he okay? What's going on? And, you know, Mr. Edwards is in there and he's trying to dig him out as fast as he can. And Pa Ingalls, he's got nothing left in him. And suddenly it pans to that lantern and the light slowly starts to go out. Why? There was no oxygen there. Right. See, too many of us believers, I told you I'd bring it back around. Too many of us, we're in that cave being starved of oxygen. Okay. And our lanterns are dwindling down. We've got to bring oxygen into the mix. Yeah. Amen. We have to fan the flames. We do that by being baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. When we do that, it charges up our spirit. Yeah. The Bible talks about God as the breath of life. He breathes into that area, breathes oxygen into that fire in our hearts and helps reignite it for him. Amen. When we spend time with him praying in other tongues, fellowshipping with our Father that way, it allows our spirits to be rejuvenated. It takes those embers that we've stirred up by praising him, brings oxygen to them, and now they begin to explode. They begin to light up faster. We'll see this in action. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We know this scripture very well. But Acts 2 verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. See that illustration there? A mighty, rushing, mighty wind. Talks about air, oxygen being brought into the mix. Here's these people. They're believing God. They're trusting him. They're stirring up the embers. They're praising him. And now God comes in with the oxygen. What happens? There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, tongues and that oxygen on our faith, they go hand in hand. When we magnify God that way, when we relationship with him that way, when we talk to our Father in a language that only he can understand, our spirits are charged up, our spirits are strengthened, and it brings that into the mix to help fan those flames to start our fires back up. Now we know later in this chapter, after they prayed in tongues like this, Peter preached the gospel, but he did it a little bit differently than had ever been done before. Amen? He did it with power. He did it because now he had a roaring fire, and there was something he could do with it. He could now bring sustenance to people. He could now make this fire be productive, make it do something effective. And it did that because verse 41 tells us that 3,000 men, not including women and children, were added to the body of Christ. See, when we get on fire for God, we'll change the world. Amen. Tongues is something that we ought to look at so with so much reverence. Look at the effects of it. People say, well, I don't want that tongues business because it scares away the lost. Does it? Because right here in my Bible, it seemed to work pretty well for getting the lost in. I mean, unless your Bible says different, tongues, 3,000. Tongues, 4,000. The early church was birthed because of the gift of tongues. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if we want to be on fire for God, I'll tell you, that's your ticket to do it. Pastor Michael has said this, tongues are the doorway to the supernatural life. And he's taught that here before. We all live a natural life, but don't we want a supernatural life? This is how we do it. Amen? Brother Hagin said this. Kenneth E. Hagin was, of course, my pastor's spiritual father. You know, he submitted to him, went to his Bible school. And he said this, the greatest things that have ever happened to me in my walk with God, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial breakthroughs and deliverances, we want those things, don't we? Aren't those important to us? Healing miracles, financial breakthroughs, deliverances. Praise the Lord. We all want to be healthy. We want to be rich and we want to be set free. Right. Well, he's telling us right here the key for how to do it. He says, came after I had spent a prolonged length of time praying in other tongues. Yes. See, when we do this, we bring that oxygen of God into the mix. Fan those flames, the Amplified Version says, and it helps to launch that fire and make it larger than it ever been before. Now, the last one we're going to look at, we looked at stirring up the embers by praising God. We looked at fanning the flames by praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. Praying in tongues. Now, the third part, it said there in the Amplified Version, was to keep burning that fire. Well, what do you need in a fire to keep it burning? You need fuel. Amen. You need usually wood is what you use, but you need something to put in that fire to get it to burn. So we're going to go to Joshua chapter 1 and look at this part. Joshua chapter 1. We could say that this is the most important part because you can have embers and you can stir them up and you can fan them, but if you don't have anything for them to grab onto and burn, you're not going to have a fire. Right. Amen. We could say that this is the most important part of this one. Joshua chapter 1. Aren't you thankful for the word?
Yes.
Amen. The thing I love about the word is I never have to live life the way I've always lived it. I never have to settle that this is just my lot in life. God's always calling me higher. Amen. Every time I come to church, it's equipping me to go higher with him. You know, you talk about people that are so depressed because they're in a dead-end job and a dead-end life. We're never at a dead end. God's roads don't end. They go as far with him as we want to go. Amen. We could pull off to the side of the road and wait for a while, but as long as we go forward in him, we'll never get to the point where we can't go somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Joshua 1, verse 8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Don't we want our way prosperous?
Yes.
Don't we want good success?
Yes.
Well, here's the answer. Look at that. It's amazing. It's like he tells us, this is what you get. This is what you have to do. Just do it. That's what the Bible is. This is what you get. This is what you have to do. Just do it. Just do it. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us here, if we want these things in our life, if we want our fire rekindled for him, we know we've got to stir up those embers to get a good base in there. We know we've got to fan the flames to help oxygen be in there. But we have to have fuel in there. That fuel is the Word of God. Those pieces of wood, you can vision them as scriptures in your heart, that when you get these scriptures inside of you, they now have something to ignite. There's something for that fire to grow with. Amen. That word meditation, of course, we know this, but it doesn't just mean reading the Bible. It means meditating on the Bible. Meditating is like a, you think of it like a, Pastor Michael uses this example, it's a good one, so we'll go with it, like a cow chewing cud, right? You don't, you know, you sit down to eat a dinner and maybe you eat really fast. You just try and power through it. But a cow doesn't do that. A cow goes up. Just chews on that same piece of cud, swallows it, brings it back up again, chews it a little bit more. That's what we do with the Word of God, though. We take these scriptures. How's that for a good illustration for it? It's not even mine. I can't take credit for it, but it's always blessed me. So that's my gift to you this morning. When we take a scripture and we get it inside of us, Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." But we don't just take one bite out of it. You keep chewing it. My God, my God, my God. God sees to it personally that my needs are met. He wants my needs met. You go through that. You chew on it over and over again. Swallow it, bring it back up, chew on it again. Whatever you got to do. That's meditation. See, we can read the Word of God, but reading the Word of God is like kindling on a fire, right? It helps start the fire, but you can't sustain a fire with kindling. You're going to make an awful lot of work for yourself trying to do that. You're going to always, and it's only going to get so big. You can start a fire with kindling. You can start by reading the Word of God. We don't discredit reading the Word of God, but we ought not to end there. See, when you start meditating, you get those big, slow-burning logs that you place those on there, and now you've got a fire that's going to last you for days. Why? Because you've got those big, hefty things. They've got weight to them now. See, people that don't have any effect as a Christian, they don't meditate in the Word of God. They're just kindling, and so they're quick, and they're out. And they're quick, and they're out. We can get on fire for a day, praise the Lord. Usually we're all on fire Sunday, right? We're all thankful for the things of God. We're all stirred up Sundays. We go home and, oh, I'm such a wonderful Christian, praise the Lord. Then we wake up Monday morning, and all we've got there is a bed of coals. Well, all right, I remember what Pastor said. Okay, yeah, I'm going to stir this up. So praise you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Shabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, pray in tongues for a little bit. And then you read a couple of chapters in the Bible, you throw some kindling on it. Then suddenly you get to work and your fire's out again. Why? What happened? All you did was put kindling on it, right? You had all the ingredients there, but you didn't have weight to it. Amen. When we meditate in the Word of God, when we find one scripture that stands out to us and we get that on the inside of us and we make that our standing scripture, praise the Lord, that log will burn all the day long. If you go to a workplace that's maybe hard to act like a believer at, find a scripture on love. Put on love, and then you meditate on that. You get that in your spirit. You don't just read all these different quick verses about love and try to get them spatter bear all over the place. No, that's kindling. It's going to go out quick. But you find one scripture on love, and you get that in your heart, and you let that burn all the day long. When those opportunities to not walk in love come up against you, that scripture rises up in you. Why? That fire's burning. Amen? When our fire's going out, we have to put fuel on it. We have to put flame on it to withstand it. Go ahead and turn. We're going to see this in the Bible. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to close with this. Praise the Lord. The Word's our help. Amen. It's our answer. We've got all the ingredients this morning to be stirred up for Him. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, before we read this, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus Christ was on fire for God? Yeah, it's not a trick question. He was, right? He was probably the most on fire for God because he was the God without, the anointing without measure, right? It was all of God in man. So if there was a man that was on fire for God, it was Jesus Christ. So let's remember that as we go into this here. Luke 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, did we hear that somewhere already? Okay, if Jesus had to be full of the Holy Ghost, maybe we need to be too. Unless we're above him. Okay. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from... We should make a soundtrack of the noises that I've made this morning. Praise the Lord. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in your way. See, let's pause here for 1 second. Now, we know what's going on here. The devil is tempting Jesus, right? Just as the devil tempts all of us. He had to go to Jesus. Why? Because we needed Jesus. Jesus had to prove that he could be tempted in all ways as we were, yet without sin. Sure, yeah. Hebrews says that. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with the things that we've gone through. Right. So when you think you're going through something that nobody understands, he does. Yes. He's been through it. Yes. He's gone through every temptation of life that any of us will ever face. Every temptation to be sick that we've ever faced. Every temptation to walk out of love. Every sexual temptation. Every temptation that could face us in life, Jesus has faced it and been victorious. Yes. So if anyone knows how to equip us to get to the other side of it, it's him. Yes. Right? So we see here, the devil is tempting Jesus, and we're going to go on reading in a second, but I wanted to pause here, because so many times, we think, this is a side note from the lesson, but just because you hear the word of God, doesn't mean that it's God. I'm saying, you could be somewhere, someone can give you the word of God. You could be in a place, maybe in a ministry, you could be wherever you might be, where you hear the word of God. The devil is using the word of God. He's quoting scripture. So just because there's scripture being quoted to you, you still need to know in your heart what the word says pertaining to you and your relationship with him. The only way that you're going to do that is by having that relationship with him, by stirring up those embers, by being baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, because it brings you into a place with the Holy Spirit. He's our leader and our guide. You understand? We need to be guarded about that, because just because there's scripture, there's people on TV that use scripture, doesn't mean that it's God. There's people on the radio that use scripture. Doesn't mean it's God. Be guarded about where we receive from. Just because they pull out a scripture to give to us, no. You be cautious about where you allow yourself to receive from. Jesus could have said, oh, well, the devil used scripture. Okay. No, he was wiser than that. We ought to be wise as well. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we'll go on here. Verse 11. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So your fire, there's two ways that it'll go out. One way is by simply not being maintained, by not putting the word into it, by not fanning those flames, by not stirring it up. Your fire inevitably will go out. That's why Paul says, reminded us of it, right? We need to stir up that gift. But the other way that it can be put out is the enemy can come along and pour a bucket of water on there, right? We've all been at those points where we're super on fire for God, and then maybe, you know, you leave church believing God for that increase, believing God for that prosperity. Then the next morning you get the bill in the mail that you don't have the money for. Whoop! That water went right on that fire. So here, the devil's here, and he's trying to pour water on Jesus's fire. Now remember, this is Jesus, the Son of God, right? But how did Jesus fight off this water on his fire, trying to stifle his flame. The devil came along and tempted him. No, because I am Jesus. Huh? That's not what he did. That's not what he did. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to use the Word of God to fight off the enemy. If he had to do it, how much more us? See, so many times we have these fires and they're getting doused. And why don't I have any flame? Why don't I have any flame? Why don't I have any flame? You don't know how to stop him from putting water on your fire. How come? Because we don't spend time in the Word. Amen. The Word of God is not just for our cup of coffee in the morning. It's not just for Sunday morning and Wednesday night. The Word of God is meant to sustain us all week long. Our whole life. Amen. Without the Word of God, we are nothing. Praise the Lord. We need this in our life. And so if you have a fire and it keeps getting doused on, you keep, man, it's one thing after another, just water, 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 and you're barely getting a little flicker of a flame in there. What you need to do is get that Word of God in there and get those logs burning in that fire. Because how many of you know, you've got a giant fire roaring, you pour a cup of water on there, it's not doing anything. It's just, oh, that bill? Okay. And then you go on with God. Amen. When our fire is so large for him because we're founded in the Word, the effects of the enemy have no withstanding on us. They have no ability to put out our fire for him. Praise the Lord. We need the Word. Amen. We need the Word to carry us through. So we have to stir up this gift. Amen. We have to stir up the gift of God. We do that. We've seen that. First of all, we've got to be connected to a local church. We've got to be connected. And of course, if you're new here, I'll tell you, not just because I'm here, we've said it earlier, this is a great place to come and hear the Word of God. It's a great place to be strengthened in Him. It's a great place to be taught the Word of God. These pastors are safe, loving pastors. They've given their life for this cause. They've sacrificed everything. And praise the Lord, I tell you, if they get an opportunity to go on vacation for a couple of weeks, glory to God for it. Amen. When you sacrifice your life for other people, what's a vacation? Amen. So lift them up, first of all, this time. I should have said this earlier, but lift them up in time of refreshing, that they come back here refreshed and rejuvenated, ready to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. But also, we know this, we need to be planted in a church, a good Bible teaching church, so that our fire does not go crazy, so that we do not become that weird loony Christian that drives all the people away. We've seen those Christians. Bless their hearts. They love the Lord. You know, and I never want to sow division or bash anybody, because they do love God. And God loves people that love him. I mean, he loves his children. They're his children, you know? But we can be so much more effective. Yes. We can be so much more effective. We can't, you know, we don't look down on people that aren't planted in church. We just want better for them. I don't want to see people hurt by Christians who don't know what the Bible says. Right. You know, we've seen those. You can close your Bibles. It'll help get me to stop talking. But we've seen those Christians where something bad happens. And then what do they say? Well, you know, if the Lord wills it. You know, when my son was in the hospital, I've shared this testimony before. My son was in the hospital and he was diagnosed. You know, he almost died diagnosed with all these things that would be wrong with him. We had people, bless their hearts, Christians, family members who love the Lord. But they would say, well, you know, if the Lord wills it, he'll get better. No. How could I stand up in that time? How could my fire stay strong in there? Because I knew what the Word said. I had those logs in there that said, by his stripes I'm healed. I had those logs in there that says, I have what I say, and I say my son is healthy and strong. Amen. Because of that, that water that would get dumped on there, it had no effect on us. And we didn't see that fruit in our life. We saw the fruit of the fire. Amen. But my pastor helped to build that ring around there so that that fire could be effective. See, we need a pastor. We need a local church to help us in this. Paul reminded Timothy of it. And if he reminded him of it, how much more us? Amen? So we know we need that local church to help stir up the gift. And then the three steps, we've got the ingredients for it. Remember the first one? It's okay. Praise. Yeah, I heard it. There it is. You can say it. It's okay. Right? Praise. We're going to praise God. Rekindle those embers. Amen. We praise God. We bring in him into the mix. We take that poking stick, stick it in those embers there, stir them up and get them back active again. Amen. And the second one, do you remember? Tongues fan the flames, right? Being baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. We bring that rushing, mighty wind of our Father into the mix. That Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, our equipper to help us get through every trial and temptation of life. Bring him into there and just fan those flames. Now you've got the ingredients for a great fire. But what's the one other thing we need? the word. We need fuel in that fire. We need those logs, that kindling to help start the fire, those logs to sustain it. Praise the Lord. We'll stay on fire for him no matter what temptations of life we face, no matter what storms we go through. We're staying strong. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and bow your heads. We're going to pray together. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you and we give you honor and praise. And Father, this morning, we've come together as a local group of believers to hear your word today. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit ministering to hearts this morning. Father, helping us and spurring faith in us to call us up higher with you. Father, if our fire has dwindled, we're sorry. We repent, Father God. We don't want to be just another vain repetition. Lord, we want to do things because we love you. We want to do things because we're motivated by pleasing you. And Lord, we rekindle those flames this morning. Father, we thank you for the fire of God in each and every one of us to be effective for you, to bring glory to you, and to be productive members of the body of Christ. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give an invitation here this morning. Today, we talked about rekindling the fire. We talked about how we need that. There's this capability inside of us to be on fire for God. But we can't do any of the steps that we've talked about if that fire hasn't even been lit. And all it takes is a little lighter in that fire, and that lighter is Jesus Christ. When we start the flame in that fire, it has to take off. It has to roar for him. Now, that's the natural illustration, but spiritually, the Bible tells us that in order to go to heaven when we die, the Bible says we must be born again. See, we're eternal creatures. That means that we don't just live on this earth and then die and go into the ground and rot and get eaten by worms. No, when we go home, when we die, our spirit goes on for eternity. But there's two places that it can go. It can go to heaven or it can go to hell. And if you were to leave this earth today, if you were to leave this place and, God forbid, a car accident happened, something tragic happened to you, do you know in your heart, do you know with everything inside of you that you're going to heaven if that happens? It's got nothing to do with being on fire for God at that point. It's got to do with just naturally being saved, being born again, the Bible calls it, so that we can spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to accept him into your heart, the Bible says. The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we shall be saved. That ticket to heaven, it's not done by good works. It's not done by going to church. It's not done by being a member of a church. It's done only by being a child of God, by being born again. And so if you're here this morning and you need to be born again, you need to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior here today, I want to give you an invitation. What I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand. No one else is looking around except the ushers to help me see. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. You're not joining this church by doing that. You're not becoming a member here. You're simply acknowledging Jesus Christ, that God sent him to die on the cross for you, to rise from the dead so that you could be saved and spend eternity in heaven with him. You don't want to go to hell. Hell is a real place. There's been ministers in here that have talked about experiences in hell. Hell is a real place, and it's eternal. There's no second chances once you're there. This is our chance this morning. If you're in this place, you need to accept Jesus so you can go to heaven with him. I invite you to raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Just looking around, making sure we see anybody. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're so good. I'm going to give a second invitation here today. If you're in this place, maybe you've walked away from the Lord. The Bible talks about the story of the prodigal son, where his father had promised him everything, but he walked away from what his father had because he thought he could do better on his own. When he realized he was wrong, he came running back home, and he thought his father would kick him to the curb, but instead his father welcomed him back with open arms. And that's an example of our Heavenly Father, that when we walk away from him, if we come back to him, he's there with open arms, ready to receive us back into his family. So if that's you this morning, you want to rededicate your life to God, you want to come back home to him, I invite you to raise your hand today. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. He just wants people in his family. He gave his life for all of us. He gave his life for all of us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to all pray together this morning with your heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you prayed those prayers, or you should have prayed those prayers, you should have raised your hand, I should say. It's not the raising of the hand that brings us into the family of God. It's believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. So as I pray this, I want you to repeat after me, but mean it from your heart to Him. Father God, I thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You for sending Him to die on the cross so that I could be saved. This morning, I make Jesus my Lord and Savior, and I say that from this day forward, my life will never be the same. I'll serve You, and I glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we had some hands raised this morning on live stream as well. You can, I don't know which camera to look at up there, but you can pray that prayer as well wherever you are. And it's not the act of being here that does it. It's the act of believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. And if you did get born again, connect with someone here at the church. Let an usher know about it. Let Pastor Brad know about it. Because you want to get planted in the house of God, the Bible says. You want to connect with Him. When you're connected with God, that's when our fire can flourish. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, were we helped here this morning? Praise God. I so love being with you all here every time. It's such a blessing to me. You know, it's just like being with extended family. You know, when the cousins all get together, they have a good time, right? So, praise the Lord. I love you guys all so much. Looking forward to what's ahead. And we've got an exciting year coming up. Of course, in the family church, there's a lot of guest ministers, so we'll see everyone there. But just, yeah, Pastor Brad. I'm going to have Pastor Brad come back up. There we go. Praise the Lord.
God. Thank you, Pastor. I'll tell you, there's so many things that are just so foundational in the message, and we got our marching orders. You know, in the season that we're going through, I know that a lot of people are going through a lot of hard times. The church has, I mean, pastors reiterated that numerous times. That is so foundational. Your praise, your worship, speaking in other tongues, and the Word of God. Meditate on the Word daily. And I just want to just emphasize, too, that if you are here visiting this morning, please come back and meet Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate, like I had mentioned earlier. Also, if you had accepted the Lord as your personal Savior this morning, it's so vital that you continue your relationship with the Lord and that you get hooked up with a Bible teaching church. And we would love to have you here. We always say if you're born here, we'd love to have you here and join this family. But it doesn't have to be family church. That could be any church that the Lord calls you to. It's just so important, like Pastor Scott had shared at the beginning of his message, to make sure that you're rooted and grounded in a Bible teaching church. And the last thing that I want to comment, the second step that Pastor Scott had ministered on was speaking in other tongues is what the Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is a gift for every born-again believer according to the Word of God. Some people say, well, you know, that family church, they say that if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not born again. No, that's not what we're saying. By accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior gets you born again. Speaking in other tongues is an experience apart or different, separate from being born again. It's called being baptized in the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Ghost. And there is no, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's kind of a gray issue. No, that's a black and white issue in the Word of God. And if you're born again here today and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, what I'm going to do is after service, I'm going to be up front here. Come on up. This is a gift for you from Jesus. You will get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's simply to receive it, just as like salvation, healing is made available through Jesus Christ, so is this. And because He wants you to have it, let's put it this way, if you're not filled, He wants you to have it more than you want to have it. So don't be like, well, man, I heard, you know, that tongues is of the devil. Well, I heard this. That's the problem. You heard it from an outside source and they were incorrect. I will have my Bible and I will show you scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture that the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues is from the Lord for you. And as you pray to receive, you will get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. So I'm going to be up here after service. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come on up. Don't go without the Lord has for you. He paid the price, and he commanded his disciples. He says, you go to Jerusalem, you tarry until the promise of the Holy Spirit comes. So that's a commandment for all of us. So I'll be up here after service. Hey, before we dismiss, why don't we go ahead? Let's stand to our feet. Let's just glorify God for a moment before we dismiss. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that we're changed here today. And we thank you that we're doers of it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Glory to God.